In 1994, he blamed his personal coach for giving him a power drink full of American chemicals. As for his hobnobbing with the Camorra crime syndicate at Napoli, he considered them protectors and nice people who gave him gold Rolexes and seemed to want nothing in return. But then he never had much of a handle on his business affairs. He left those to others while he had fun. In other ways, Napoli showed him at his best. He went to a poor, volatile southern city, scorned by the rich north, and won major trophies for it, the first it had ever had. He was revered as a saint for restoring its pride by thrashing everybody else. And, of course, he had done that first in Argentina, idolized like God himself, for salving with his brilliance the loss of the Malvinas and the Junta years. Yet winning the World Cup, he mused as he came home, had not brought down the price of bread. Only politicians who spoke for the masses could do that. So he was both a Peronist and a Chavista. Fidel Castro, whose beret he begged from him, was tattooed on his left leg, Che Guevara on his right arm. He told the Pope that he should sell the Vatican's gold ceilings to feed the poor. As he grew stouter and sicker, he coached the national side and returned as director of Boca Juniors, the team he had most wanted to play for as a boy. His aim stayed just the same, to bring joy to people with a ball. He was El Diego de la Gente, the people's player, and despite the force of the kick that Via Fiorito had given him up to the stars, he still felt he had those corduroy trousers on, the old pair he always wore, winter and summer.